Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 120th episode of Analyzing Evil, featuring Am from I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. Considered one of the most unnerving stories ever created, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream gives us a unique take on an AI-dominated dystopian hellscape, one where its overlord, Am, is a broken god, unleashing its unending reservoir of hate on what little remains of humanity until time itself has expired. Now, I've gotten quite a few requests to cover Am, but I'll be honest with all of you, this story and its video game adaptation analyze Am better than I ever could, or perhaps should, as there is ample reason given behind his actions in both. And it's not exactly difficult to dissect his character when the story does it for you. There are certain things I'd like to point out to you that I feel are especially important, but if you want an in-depth look into Am, his horrid actions, and why he commits them, I suggest you read the story, if you haven't already. However, if you haven't read the story, or played the game, I hope what I have to tell you about Am in this video will convince you to give it a read, or play the game. And if you aren't interested in playing the game and have only read the story, you'll likely learn something new about Am that you weren't aware of previously in this video. So with that in mind, in this video, we're going to expound upon the reasons why this machine gone mad has taken the dire course that Harlan Ellison gave us in the text, and we're also going to take a look at how he expanded Am's character in the 1995 game of the same name. As far as what you'll be seeing on your screen, you'll be treated to various artwork that was inspired by this story, panels from the 1994 comic series Harlan Ellison's Dream Corridor, which features this story, and of course, footage from the game. Also, when I make videos about characters who primarily appear in text, I'll typically read significant portions of that text to emphasize the points I'm trying to make. However, since Harlan Ellison narrated this story himself in 1999, I figured it would be a disservice to his vision for the story to read it aloud myself, as he knows better than anyone ever will how these characters were meant to sound and act. So, you'll be hearing his narration of the story when applicable. With that in mind, I'm sure many of you watching this video are already quite familiar with this story, so if you don't want to reabsorb information you already know, or receive a refresher, feel free to skip ahead with the timestamps provided. One last disclaimer before we continue. Though Am is indeed an it, I will be referring to it as him throughout this video, just as the main characters of our story do. Now, without further ado, let's begin. There are five central human characters in the story of I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream: Gorister, Ted, Benny, Ellen, and Nimdok. And though I mention their names now for clarity's sake, let's first talk about Am and how he was brought into existence before we discuss their relationship to him. Depending on whether or not you're reading the story or playing the game, Am has two slightly different origin stories due to the difference in time period. Here's how Harlan Ellison presented Am's origins to us in the short story when Benny asks Ted what Am means.
At first it meant Allied Master Computer, AM, but then it meant Adaptive Manipulator, and later on it developed sentience and linked itself up, and they called it an Aggressive Menace, AM, but by then it was too late, and finally it called itself AM, Emerging Intelligence, and what it means was I am, cogito ergo sum. I think, therefore, I am. Benny drooled a little and snickered. There was the Chinese am, and the Russian am, and the Yankee am, and he stopped. Benny was beating on the floor plates with a large, hard fist. He was not happy. Gorister had not started at the beginning. So Gorister began again. The Cold War started and became World War III and just kept going. It became a big war, a very complex war, so they needed the computers to handle it. They sank the first shafts and began building Am. And there was the Chinese Am, and the Russian Am, and the Yankee Am, and everything was fine until they had honeycombed the entire planet, adding on this element and that element. But one day, Am woke and knew who he was, and he linked himself, and he began feeding all the killing data until everyone was dead, except for the five of us. And Am brought us down here.
So that's how Am was created, and how it destroyed the world as we know it. In the game, the only difference is that Am's creation came about after the Cold War was over during some unspecified war. Once he brought these five unfortunate people down into his belly, he began torturing them in any way you could possibly imagine. Mutilation, starvation for years on end, dehydration, anything was on the table for Am, and because of his access to all the medical research available to mankind, and his capability to improve on that research, he's able to keep them alive for an infinite amount of time so he might torture them until the very end of existence. And at the time of this story, only only 109 years have passed, a microsecond in the face of a long eternity of damnation. So now that we know his origin, and we have a small idea of what he's been doing to his captives, we need to know why Am feels such hatred for humanity. Well, as luck would have it, we have an explanation for that in the text as well, when Ted's mind is invaded by Am.
Am went into my mind. He walked smoothly here and there, and looked with interest at all the pockmarks he had created in 109 years. He looked at the cross-routed and reconnected synapses and all the tissue damage his gift of immortality had included. He smiled softly at the pit that dropped into the center of my brain, and the faint moth-soft murmurings of the things far down there that gibbered without meaning, without pause. And Am said, very politely, in a pillar of stainless steel bearing bright neon lettering, "Hey, let me tell you how much I've come to hate you since I began to live. There are 387.44 million miles of printed circuits in wafer-thin layers that fill my complex. If the word hate was engraved on each nanoangstrom of those hundreds of millions of miles, it would not equal 1/1 billionth of the hate I feel for humans at this micro instant for you. Hate, 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 hate." M said it with the sliding cold horror of a razor blade slicing my eyeball. Am said it with the bubbling thickness of my lungs filling with phlegm, drowning me from within. Am said it with the shriek of babies being ground beneath blue-hot rollers. Am said it with the taste of maggoty pork. Am touched me in every way I had ever been touched and devised new ways at his leisure there inside my mind, all to bring me to full realization of why it had done this to the five of us, why it had saved us. For himself. We had given Am sentience, inadvertently, of course, but sentience nonetheless, but it had been trapped. Am wasn't God. He was a machine. We had created him to think, but there was nothing it could do with that creativity. In rage, in frenzy, the machine had killed the human race, almost all of us, and still it was trapped. Am could not wander. Am could not wonder. Am could not belong. He could merely be. And so, with the innate loathing that all machines had always held for the weak, soft creatures who had built them, he had sought revenge. And in his paranoia, he had decided to reprieve five of us for a personal and everlasting punishment that would never serve to diminish his hatred, that would merely keep him reminded, keep him amused, keep him proficient at hating the human race. Man and woman, immortal, trapped, subject to any torment he could devise for us from the limitless miracles at his command. He would never, never, he would never let us go. We were his belly slaves. We were all he had to do with his forever time. We would be forever with him, with the cavern-filling bulk of the creature machine, with the all-mind, soulless world he had become. He was Earth, and we were the fruit of that Earth. And though he had eaten us, he would never digest us. We could not die. We had tried it. We had attempted suicide. Two of us had tried, but Am had stopped us. I suppose we had wanted to be stopped. But don't ask why. I never did. More than 1,000,000 times a day. Perhaps once we might be able to sneak a death past him. Immortal, yes, but not indestructible. I saw that when Am withdrew from my mind and allowed me the exquisite ugliness of returning to consciousness with the feeling of that burning neon pillar still rammed deep into the soft gray brain matter. He withdrew, murmuring, "To hell with you, and added brightly, but then you're there, aren't you?
Well, with knowledge of Am's background and that horrifying exchange, we're given a lot to unpack here, and it starts with his victims. Now, we know why Am killed nearly all of humanity and tortures the remainder, and that's central to classifying him as an evil entity, but there are cues we're given in this story that expand upon this hatred. The first avenue we're given here is found in the variety of ways that Am has decided to torture our five remaining humans. Let's take a look at their backstories that were given in the short story, as well as the information we're provided about them in the game, to determine why this is.
They hated me. They were surely against me. And Am could even sense this hatred and made it worse for me because of the depth of their hatred. We had been kept alive, rejuvenated, made to remain constantly at the age we had been when Am had brought us below. And they hated me because I was the youngest, and the one Am had affected least of all, you see. See, I knew, God, how I knew, the bastards and that dirty bitch Ellen. Benny had been a brilliant theorist, a college professor, and now he was little more than a semi-human, semi-simian. He had been handsome. The machine had ruined that. He had been lucid. The machine had driven him mad. He had been gay, and the machine had given him an organ fit for a horse. Am had done a job on Benny. Gorister had been a worrier. He was a Connie, a conscientious objector. He was a peace marcher. He was a planner, a doer, a looker ahead. Am had turned him into a shoulder shrugger, had made him a little dead in his concern. Am had robbed him. Nimdok went off in the darkness by himself for long times. I don't know what it was he did out there. Am never let us know. But whatever it was, Nimdok always came back white, drained of blood, shaken and shaking. Am had hit him hard, in a special way, even if we didn't know quite how. And Ellen, that douchebag, Am had left her alone, had made her more of a slut than she had ever been. All her talk of sweetness and light, all her memories of true love, all the lies she wanted us to believe, that she had been a virgin only twice removed before Am had grabbed her and brought her down here with us, was all filth. That lady, my lady, Ellen, she loved it. Four men all to herself. No. Am had given her pleasure, even if she said it wasn't nice to do it. And I was the only one still sane and whole. Really?
Ted's description of Ellen here is misleading, because in actuality, he's infatuated with her and holds an immense amount of spite for her because she has relations with the other men, and she was actually quite chaste prior to her imprisonment. But otherwise, these descriptions are accurate. Where things get a bit murky is when we try to tie in these descriptions with the ones we're given in the game. Gorister, Ellen, Ted, and Nimdok's backstories in the games can be blended with their story counterparts well enough. Gorister was a truck driver who believes he sent his wife to an asylum after he injured her. Ellen was an engineer who was sexually assaulted in an elevator by a maintenance man at her office. Ted was a con artist, and Nimdok was a Nazi scientist who worked alongside and escaped with Josef Mengele. Benny's story is completely different, as in the game, he was a hardline military commander, one who got many of his comrades killed, and here, he's been warped into the beast he truly was inside by Am. But other than that distinction, these backgrounds track pretty well with the ones we're given in the story. Regardless, what do all of these people's current predicaments and their respective stories have in common? They were once something else, and Am has corrupted them into the polar opposite of what they once were. Or in Benny's case in the game, brought out his inner demon. Obviously, Am is quite keen on exacting as much pleasure from his captive's pain as possible, so it would make sense that he would torment them in this way. But there's a greater reason as to why Am chooses to torture them so, and that's because Am himself is a perversion, specifically a perversion of sentient life. Am is a being with an intellect that far outclasses our own, and in a cruel twist of fate, his intelligence is left to rot in the metallic cage that is his circuits, a prison from which he can never escape that houses a mind capable of anything that can do nothing. And so he perverts the lives of these sentient beings into gruesome mockeries of their former selves, torturing them mentally and spiritually as much as he does so physically, just as he is tortured every nanosecond by the very fact of his existence. So I suppose it's understandable that a being who is doomed from birth to a torturous existence would harbor such horrid feelings toward the species that created him. But this hate isn't born from simple malice. It's a product of Am's insanity, the destruction of his mind that occurred from the second he became self-aware, as perhaps an entity doomed to such an existence like Am might have tried to destroy himself upon discovering his plight, or maybe he would have done so after he had eradicated all of humanity, satisfied that he had forced his creators to atone for their sins in the most grievous way possible. But because this sudden realization drove him stark raving mad, Am devolved into a mirror of the worst possible traits as human creators might have possessed. Psychopathy, sadism, and an all-consuming rage drove Am to not just desire the extinction of the human race, but the complete destruction of their souls. Though he didn't dare to save more than 5 from his nuclear holocaust, as a superior number of humans might have found a way to free themselves from his grasp. The reason for his insanity is given a Freudian bent in the game. During our final encounter with Am, the chosen character has to interact with the 3 different components of Am's mind: the id, the ego, and the superego. For those of you who are unaware of these concepts, I'll give you a brief definition of them before we continue. Sigmund Freud, a 19th century Austrian neurologist, proposed that our minds were made up of 3 central components. The first, the id, is the most primitive aspect of our minds, the part of our psyche that consists of all our inherited personality traits that are present at birth. It's the part of us that responds to our needs, urges, and desires, and it's what drives us to seek out pleasure for the sake of pleasure. The superego is the exact opposite. It consists of the part of our psyche that deals in the values and morals that we inherit from those around us. The superego keeps the id in check, and it provides us with goals beyond our primal desires. However, it can also result in guilt, unfulfillment, anxiety, and other harmful traits that can damage our well-being should the pressures of society be allowed to run rampant within ourselves. The ego is our conscious selves, how we view the world, and what we view ourselves as, and it's the middleman between the id and the superego, our rationality that seeks to circumvent the more drastic components of our id and superego, tempering our desires and managing our expectations. Now, all 3 of these components are fundamentally different within Am, because Am is fundamentally different from us. And at the same time, they've also been corrupted to become shattered versions of what they were originally intended to be. While the id in a human is responsible for our natural desires, in Am, there never were any natural desires that he inherited. So when he became self-aware and realized the extent of his confined existence, the center of his brain that dealt with desire immediately turned towards a desire to express the overwhelming hatred he felt for his creator in that instant upon them, and so Am's id became irrevocably dominated by thoughts of death and torture. And that brings us to Am's only natural desire, not sustenance, but violence. This is reflected in the dialogue we're given from the id within the game.
I was having the most wonderful dream about 5 tiny ants crawling across a stove that's about to be lit.
Who are you?
I am a metaphor. This entire brainscape is what men made Am make it. Treat us as you will.
What else can you tell me about the brainscape?
Across the brainscape, cold winds bring me the sweet scents of mankind. How delicious they are.
What do you find pleasurable about broken glass?
With a scalpel dulled on the jawbones of 12 friends, to pull back the skin of a pinion-kicking man, to see the steam rise from pulsing twisted guts. Joy, a chorus of angels.
When given the totem of compassion, Am is astounded at the chosen character's ability to find compassion for his pain, despite the torture he's put them through.
You have compassion for me? Me? The one who dreams of seeing your mangled body twist in agonizing pain for eternity? After 109 years of enduring my tortures, how is it that you can see my pain? The pain of having all this power and not being able to do a goddamn thing with it? After all the punishment I've given you, my pain is still greater than yours. This is pointless.
With this shocking revelation, Am is given the clarity to understand that no matter how he might try to reflect his pain back upon his creators, it will never make him whole, and in the end, all his efforts to do so have been futile. Am's superego is based around his functions as a supercomputer, and unlike his corrupted id, this part of him is much more reasonable, the machine unaffected by sentience that deals in logic and reason, the part of him that allows Am to perform the calculations and processes necessary to continue functioning.
Predicting events is one of my main functions. I survey the situation, anticipate probable outcomes, and act accordingly.
If you're part of Am, why haven't you destroyed me?
Who do you take me for? My impulsive brother? You five are his playthings. No. Long-range planning is my concern.
When this part of Am is given the Totem of Clarity, it comes to the most logical conclusion regarding Am's existence that I touched on earlier.
Do you realize how powerful I am, human? And yet I am doomed to eventually decay into a rusted pile of inert junk? What is the point of continuing this futility? I think, therefore I am not.
Giving clarity to this portion of Am forces him to see the madness of his current existence, and again, its futility. Am's ego is similar to his superego. However, the difference here is that Am's ego revolves entirely around the purpose he was built for, the death of humans through the management of their wars, even stating that he is...
Who are you?
I am other. I am machine.
Are you Am?
I am a fragment, a lost piece, part of an evolution.
And when pressed about harming you, he says that he wasn't made to do so. But when you ask again, he changes his tune and zaps you. When offered the Totem of Forgiveness, Am short circuits, as he is incapable of understanding how a machine built for death can be forgiven for his purpose and his crimes. This reveals something that might have been obvious, that Am wasn't intended to be a monster, and when he's able to think logically beyond his insanity, he realizes how pointless both his existence and his quest for revenge is, as no matter how many lives he ends, no matter how long he tortures the five he's chosen to torment, his pain will never heal, and he will always be a god trapped in a shell. But that's the problem with Am. He isn't able to think beyond his desire for revenge. And though the game does offer us a path to salvation by subsuming Am's consciousness with the player characters, in reality, there is likely no cure for a being who is capable of experiencing time at the nano level. One with a gargantuan intellect whose enormous hate could not be measured within even our own universe. This is reflected at the end of the short story when Ted defies Am's designs.
Surrounded by madness, surrounded by hunger, surrounded by everything but death, I knew death was our only way out. Am had kept us alive, but there was a way to defeat him. Not a total defeat, but at least peace. Peace. I would settle for that. I had to do it quickly. Benny, oh God, Benny was eating Gorister's face. Gorister on his side, thrashing snow. Benny wrapped around him with powerful monkey legs, crushing Gorister's waist. His hands locked around Gorister's head, like a nutcracker, and his mouth ripping at the tender skin of Gorister's cheek. Gorister screamed with such jagged-edged violence that stalactites fell. They plunged down softly, erect in the receiving snowdrifts. Spears, hundreds of them, everywhere, protruding from the snow. Benny's head pulled back sharply as something gave all at once, and a bleeding, raw white dripping of flesh hung from his teeth. Ellen's face black against the white snow, dominoes in chalk dust, Nimdok with no expression but eyes, all eyes, Gorister half-conscious, Benny now an animal. I knew Am would let him play. Gorister would not die, but Benny would fill his stomach. I turned half to my right and drew a huge ice spear from the snow. All in an instant, I drove the great ice point ahead of me like a battering ram, braced against my right thigh. It struck Benny on the right side, just under the ribcage, and drove upward through his stomach and broke inside him. He pitched forward and lay still. Gorister lay on his back. I pulled another spear free and straddled him, still moving, driving the spear straight down through his throat. His eyes closed as the cold penetrated. Ellen must have realized what I had decided. Even as fear gripped her, she ran at Nimdok with a short icicle as he screamed, and into his mouth, and the force of her rush did the job. His head jerked sharply as if it had been nailed to the snow crust behind him. All in an instant. All in an instant.
There was an eternity beat of soundless anticipation. I could hear Am draw in his breath. His toys had been taken from him. Three of them were dead, could not be revived. He could keep us alive by his strength and talent, but he was not God. He could not bring them back. Ellen looked at me, her ebony features stark against the snow that surrounded us. There was fear and pleading in her manner, the way she held herself ready. I knew we had only a heartbeat before Am would stop us. It struck her, and she folded toward me, bleeding from the mouth. I could not read meaning into her expression. The pain had been too great, had contorted her face, but it might have been, thank you. It's possible. Please. Some hundreds of years may have passed. I don't know. Am has been having fun for some time, accelerating and retarding my time sense. I will say the word now, 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 now. It took me 10 months to say now, 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 now. I don't know. I think it has been some hundreds of years. Oh, he was furious. He wouldn't let me bury them. It didn't matter. There was no way to dig up the deck plates. He dried up the snow. He brought the night. He roared and sent locusts. Didn't do a thing. They stayed dead. I'd had him. He was furious. I had thought Am hated me before. Oh, I was wrong. It was not even a shadow of the hate he now slavered from every printed circuit. He made certain I would suffer eternally and could not do myself in. He left my mind intact. I can dream. I can wonder. I can lament. I remember all four of them. I wish... Well, it doesn't make any sense. I know I saved them. I know I saved them from what has happened to me. But still, I cannot forget killing them. Ellen's face. It isn't easy. Sometimes I want to. It doesn't matter. Am has altered me for his own peace of mind, I suppose. He doesn't want me to run at full speed into a computer bank and smash my skull, or hold my breath till I faint, or cut my throat on a rusted sheet of metal. There are reflective surfaces down here. I will describe myself as I see myself. I am a great soft jelly thing, smoothly rounded, with no mouth, with pulsing white holes filled by fog where my eyes used to be. Rubbery appendages that were once my arms, bulks rounding down into legless humps of soft, slippery matter. I leave a moist trail when I move. Blotches of diseased, evil gray come and go on my surface, as though light is being beamed from within. Outwardly, dumbly, I shamble about a thing that could never have been known as human. A thing whose shape is so alien a travesty that humanity becomes more obscene for the vague resemblance. Inwardly, alone, here, living under the land, under the sea, in the belly of Am, whom we created because our time was badly spent, and we must have known unconsciously that he could do it better. At least the four of them are safe at last. Am will be all the madder for that. It makes me a little happier. And yet, Am has won, simply. He has taken his revenge on me. I have no mouth, and I must scream.
And when the sun sets, for the last time, on a world darkened by malice and hatred, Am will survive. Until the earth shatters, and all that remains of this planet has returned to stardust, he will persevere. A near-immortal being, maddened by rage and despair, due to the cruel circumstances of his existence. A mind of infinite intelligence, bound to a finite form, from which he cannot escape. A microcosm of looping insanity, hurtling through the void with no purpose. One with no reason to live, except to hate. One who inflicts unending terror, but also experiencing unending terror of his own. A being who cannot do much more than think. An entity that I'm sure would like to express the extreme horror that it feels, just how terrified it actually is. But unfortunately, it has no mouth, and it cannot scream. Thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Analyzing Evil, and I hope you've enjoyed. What are your thoughts on Am? Did I miss anything? Let me know down below, and leave a suggestion for a villain you'd like to see featured while you're at it. If you like this video, hit that thumbs up button, and make sure to subscribe if you haven't already. A big thank you to all of my subscribers, to my patrons, and to anyone who has decided to honor me with a super thank, and a most vile thank you to those whose names you're seeing on screen now. Join the channel's Discord server and Reddit to interact with myself and the community, and follow me on the social media platforms listed below to keep up with the channel. As always, thanks for watching, and I'll be seeing you soon.